This is Scott Parker, servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and all over the world via the internet. I want to welcome you to my podcast. Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right. Thank God I'm going to be speaking about the gospel and its benefits. You know, it was in my heart when I woke up this morning that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. You know, it doesn't say the anger of God leads us to repentance. Look at Philippians 2:12, because God is continuing to renew my mind and deliver me from the tradition of men. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, God is telling us to work out our salvation. So we're dealing with overcoming sins, being delivered from sins, and he calls us his beloved. All right? Does that sound like he's angry with us? Let's read that in the Common English Bible. Therefore, my loved ones, just as you always obeyed me, not just when I am present, but now even more while I'm away, carry out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? Now, some of you may say, well, doesn't the Bible teach that God is angry at our sin? Not when you're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I just read where he said, beloved, work out your salvation. See, does that sound like he's angry? See, God, this is, we need to get understand this, and God's helping me. God is angry towards those who will not come to his son and believe on the gospel, but they choose to live in sin. Okay? When he begins to deal with them and they begin to see, it comes into their heart and their mind about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they reject it and choose to walk in sin, then God will get angry with them. Okay? And even then, he's long-suffering. Okay, turn to Mark 1:14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. See, this is what God wants to do. Turn to the gospel. Turn and believe the gospel. And, you know, let me just say this. God has made all mankind where they naturally want to do what is right. Let me show you that. I'll prove that to you. Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves. See, they do by nature things contained in the law. Let's read that in the easy to read version. Those who are not Jews don't have the law. But when they naturally do what the law commands, even without even knowing the law, then they are their own law. This is true even to those who are not taught the law of Moses. Okay? So what I'm getting at is we all try to do what is right. And people do this, and we feel better when we do what is right. But our problem is sin in us, and the devil getting an advantage over us because of the sin in us. But you know, if you get understanding that God put the law in our hearts to show us our sin and to bring us to his son. See, you have to resist to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You do. You have to resist not to come to him, because God has put the law in the hearts of the Gentiles. It gives us the knowledge of sin. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The Spirit of God is moving all over the earth to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it reaches a point where you just have to resist the truth. And that's what will eventually get God angry at you. You choose to stay in unrighteousness. He knows you're born in sin. He knows that you can't help sinning, but he's provided salvation. And that's the only thing that will get him angry is you won't take that salvation. You know, some ministers have damaged people's relationship with God and presented to them a God that is angry at them, even when they come to him. Even when they're trying to walk uprightly, they make it sound like he's angry at them because they won't just stop sinning. That's how blind they are. And it caused these people to never have a good relationship with God. But let me tell you about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I Am. He's love. God is love. You can see that in the epistle of John. God is love. Let me show you an example of God in love in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 9:24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Now, here's God, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. See, that's the way God is. See, judgment is correction, and God delights in correcting us. All right? He's not angry in correcting us. He delights in correcting us. So he's not angry at people that are believing on his son. He's not angry at people that are making an effort to walk with him and to follow him. They choose the right way. All right? He delights in Christ. And he'll and God, if you'll keep believing him, if you're rebellious, but you keep believing, he'll make you willing. And he'll make you happy. And it says the love of Christ constraineth us. He'll get to where he takes over your life with his love. All right? Now, let me show you another place of God's loving kindness in correcting people, dealing with their sin. Look at Psalm 107, verse 1. I'll give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endure forever. Now, I don't have time to go into this whole chapter, but I encourage you, you can see the love of God and God dealing with the human race. Read Psalm 107 and you'll see through the whole chapter the loving kindness of God and how he deals with people. And it says the righteous shall see it and the wise will understand. Let's look at that, verse 42. The righteous shall see it. And in between all those scriptures is talking about God's dealing. And rejoice, the righteous shall sit and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise will observe these things. All these scriptures talking about God dealing with man, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. All right? So as you get a hold of what's written here in Psalm 107, you'll begin to see this here and all through the scriptures, God's purpose and why he leads people the way he does to deal with their heart and what God is after. See, the New Testament is a love letter to God's beloved. It is in the Old Testament too. It's a little bit, well, maybe I'm just still not getting my eyes open to see it more in the Old Testament. You know, I asked God one time, I had a situation at work where I could stay and get some overtime in, or they would let me leave. And so I told the Lord about that, and I said, what do you want me to do? And, you know, the Lord said to me, come away, my beloved. And, you know, back then, I had a lot of rebellion in me. I've overcome, I think, all of it. I don't see any more rebellion in me. But God called me his beloved. You know why? Because I'd received his son and I was making effort to believe him and walk with him. See, you know, people think that God was one way under the old covenant, another way under the New Testament. No, God is love. And he always has been. You just need to get understanding. You know where God destroyed the human race in Noah's day with the flood? You go back and look at that and it says, because every imagination of the heart of man was only evil continually. See, sin had run its course in these people's hearts. And they'd waxed so wicked, God couldn't do nothing with them. And they wouldn't turn back to God. So they did it to themselves. Okay? And so when you begin to see where God's judgment hits people, you got to get understanding. You got to get everything in context. God didn't just man sin and then he came down and just destroyed him. All right? God's always reaches out to save man. It's the rejection of the truth. It's the rejection of God's salvation that gets them in trouble. We even see that in the New Testament. It says, how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? All right? You know, but there's ministers that, man, when they sit there and speak to you, it makes you sound like God hates us. You know, I heard Norval Hayes say this one time. God said to him, you better stop listening to those other preachers. They're going to ruin your relationship with me. I believe, and Norval Hayes told us, said that one time. He didn't tell me, I wasn't in one of his, I never went to one of his meetings, but I heard him in a video say that. And I think it was a video or somebody told me about it, but I believe that's accurate. Now, I'll say this. I know there's ministers out there who know God and they know his ways and they have the love of God in them. So I'm not talking about them. See, if what I say applies to you, then receive correction. If not, don't apply it to yourself. Okay. So don't take it. And some people that are weak will do that. And other people that are stronger and confident, they've learned to, you know, they're not easily got into guilt. So anyway, let's go ahead and get into the gospel and its benefits. First, let's look at the Bible's definition of the gospel. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye also received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. Okay? There's the Bible's definition of the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. All right? And the gospel is power. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the death, burial, and resurrection. It is the power of God unto salvation to deliver us to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. All right? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ is the gospel. It is the power of God that delivers us. All right? That's where you get power to set you free. That's where it's at, folks. That's why you need to meditate upon the gospel. All right? You know, and salvation is not only delivers from every bondage, but covers everything we will ever need or want. See how beneficial it is to get a revelation of the gospel and get to where you mix faith with the gospel and learn to believe it. It'll get everything you need. There's power to bring to pass everything you need. See, the gospel is the power of God to get healed. It's to set you free from every bondage. The gospel is the power of God to get every benefit that God has for us. The gospel calls you to overcome every devil. It's through the gospel you'll be able to rule the devil and put him under your feet. Now, let's look at this. The gospel is always yes and amen. And you get a hold of this as it'll help you believe. 2 Corinthians 1:19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me, that was talking about Paul, and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay. It wasn't yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So, did you see that? Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus didn't preach sometimes God will give you or perform his promise in your life, and sometimes he won't. No, they didn't speak that way. How did they speak? They said all the promises of God are yes and amen. This is another foundational truth, if you'll get it in your heart. God always says yes to what he's already provided for you through the gospel. All right? It's always yes. See, if you don't know where God stands on his promise, then you'll be tossed to and fro. That's called doubt. All right? And you'll be moved. The devil will move you. Okay? So, you've got to get that in your heart. The promises of God are all yes and amen. All right? So, if you haven't been able to receive from God any promise in his word, the problem is not with God. The problem is with you. Now, what you need is you need to get your mind renewed to know all God's promises are yes. And you need to be delivered from the law of Moses that brings guilt and hinders your faith from working. See, you get your faith working, you get established that this promise is yours. They're all yes and amen. Then you'll get to where you can receive those promises. You'll start getting those promises, start manifesting your life. See? And this is another reason why you want to be brought to repentance. Repentance is a good thing. You want to be brought to repentance from your sin because the more your heart is changed and the more you turn from sin, the better your faith will work. And it's through faith we receive the promises. All right? Okay. Let's look at this. The gospel is always a blessing. Romans 15:29. Let's turn there. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Okay? The gospel's always a blessing. When you hear people preaching, if they're not speaking about a blessing, it's not the gospel. If it's not yes and amen, it's fleshly teaching and it's not the gospel. Okay, turn to Acts 3:25. You know, because I've heard ministers say, before you go there, I've heard ministers say, we're going to preach the gospel to you, and then they preach all this law and guilt and condemnation. That's not the gospel. Okay, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus is the gospel, and it brings all the promises of God, and it brings a blessing. It's always a blessing. Okay, Acts 3:25. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. See, we're blessed through Christ, which is the seed of Abraham. Now, look at how God blesses all of us. Verse 26, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Okay? See, as we're turned from our iniquities, our sins, the blessings of God will come upon us. And being turned from our sins is a blessing. All right? Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That was Jesus. He became a curse for us. He was hung on a tree. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that ye might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right? Go to verse 16. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The law of Moses hinders us from receiving the promise of God, because unless you keep it perfectly, you're guilty of trespassing all the law. And some people don't have as big a problem with feelings of guilt, but it still shuts up their faith. Look at James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. See, you want to be righteous for God? Here's your choice. Either keep the law perfectly, which you won't be able to do, or walk in faith and get your righteousness imparted to you by faith. Receive it by faith. See, once you get understanding of God's ways, you won't want to live by the Ten Commandments. You will want to live under grace, and you either live under the law or grace. So take your choice. I want grace. I don't need anything to do with the law. Thank God the law is good, it's holy, it's just, and it had a good purpose. It was to give us the knowledge of sin. It was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And it says, after we came to the schoolmaster, we're no longer under it. And we know in 1 Corinthians 15:56, or somewhere right in there, it says, the law, this is talking about the law, is the strength of sin. We know in Romans 7, it causes sin to work all manner concupiscence in us, make us want to sin more. We say, more of the law entered that the offense might abound. Now, it's time some of you ministers are preaching the law, look at that and go, I'm strengthening sin in people by preaching the law. I am shutting up people's faith by preaching the law. I'm making people guilty by preaching the law. Okay? I'm bringing forth fruit unto death. Romans 7:4. You need to look at that. Okay? Because as I speak these things, God's going to start holding you accountable. You know, and God judges everyone according to knowledge. But you preachers, as you start to hear these things and you look at that word and you go, oh my God, I'm bringing forth fruit unto death, then you better say, I think I better consider what I'm doing and stop it. All right, Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way and nailed to the cross. Okay, now I'm going to tell you, most of the translators didn't understand this verse, and they translated this verse to say, God erased the charges against us. That's what most of the translations say. King James got it right. But God erased the law that was against us. He erased it from our hearts. See, because I just quoted you a bunch of scriptures showing you the law's against us. Well, it strengthened sin. Would you say that's being against us? It made the sin abound. Would you say that's being against us? It made us guilty and shut up our faith. Would you say that was against us? There's other scriptures that says it makes us hostile towards God. See, that was the handwriting of ordinances. God wrote the Ten Commandments by his own finger on the tables of stone. That's what it's talking about, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance. Thank God this was dealt with on the cross, all right? But you know what? You're going to have to walk by faith and be delivered from your sins, and then you'll get out. Let's look at that. See, some people say, well, if the law produces guilt and I've been delivered from the law, why do I still feel guilty in time? You know, it was nailed to the cross, right? Because the law hasn't been erased from off the tables of your heart yet. And it won't be until you turn from your sins. Let's look at that, Romans 7:5, International Standard Version. For when we were living according to our human nature, sinful passions were at work in our bodies. Now look at this, here again, here's the law making it work by means of the law. To bear fruit resulting in death. You hear that, preachers that preach the law? You're causing people to bear fruit unto death. But now we have been released from the law by what? By dying to what enslaved us, so that we serve in newness, in the new life of the Spirit, not under the old writing. Now it says we being released from the law by dying to what enslaved us. What are we dying to? The old man. That's back in the 6th chapter. This is the 7th chapter. Back in the 6th chapter, the old man was crucified with Christ through water baptism. As you stand fast and believe that, reckon him dead. Keep putting him off. Don't yield to him. He will be passing away. The more he passes away, the more you'll get out from underneath the law. See, this all works. See, you can't just sit there and quote some scriptures and then claim the promises. You have to walk by faith. You have to be baptized into the death of the Lord Jesus. You got to get a revelation of it. You got to believe it. You got to walk in this. You got to follow God. And then as you do this, as you put to death the old man with your faith, see, you deal with your sin by faith, you'll be released from the law. Now, God doesn't condemn us while we're walking this out. See, he even says that there's no condemnation of those that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the therefore is referring back to the 25th verse in the 7th chapter. It says, who's going to deliver us from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says there's therefore now no condemnation if you walk after that, those that are in Christ. That's walking in the Word. You're making an effort to walk in the Word. You're still going to sin. You're going to do that which you would not, that which you would do, you don't do. But as you keep making an effort, you'll be able to walk in it to some degree, and it'll get better. And then the next verse says, for the law of the Spirit of life, Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. See, it all works as you walk on in faith. Obey the Word of God. But God's not condemning us, but it's going to be unpleasant. You'll have unpleasant days while there's still sin operating through us, and the devil's attacking you, and he's oppressing you. But let me tell you something, the more you're spiritually regenerated, the more you will dislike sin, and the more you labor to believe and obey to overcome sin, the more you will get the promise of God and be at peace, and the more you'll overcome the devil. But you'll have some unhappy days walking some of this out. That's just all there is to it. And some people just quit and go back, and they never come into all the blessings, the promises of God. They don't. And so I want to encourage you, if you're walking in this and you're unhappy and you're feeling terrible, just keep it up. Just keep believing. You know, keep putting the Word of God in your heart. Okay? And let me tell you this also about the promises. There's a lot of people who have money, but having riches, but that doesn't make you happy, just having money. But when you have riches, health, and a right heart, that's when you'll be happy. And look at 3 John 1, verse 2. Beloved, I think there's only one chapter in there, is it? I'm not sure. Anyway, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Let's read the same verse in International Standard Version. Dear friends, I pray that you are doing well in every way and that you are healthy, just as your soul is healthy. See that? You want divine prosperity, divine health? Get your soul prosper. Get your soul healed. See, you will have divine financial prosperity and divine health as your soul is made prosperous or healthy. You know, Jesus said to people who had a problem with sin that their soul is sick and that they are in need of the great physician. And he is the great physician. And he'll make your soul whole. All right? Let's go ahead and take a break and play a song here. Let's do Via Dolorosa by Pamela Pontiac.
down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day. The soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, tres días en Jerusalén, los soldados le aprean paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba para ver a que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que es la Via del dolor, como vea, vino Cristo, Rey Señor. Y fue Él quien quiso ir por su amor, por ti, por mí. Por la Via Dolorosa, al Calvario ya morí. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Now, let's look at how the gospel and its benefits makes us a partaker of God's divine nature, 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power, that's the gospel, gospel is the power of God, has given unto us, see, it brings into your life all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us by this power and the knowledge of him exceeding great precious promises. See, the power and the promises, the gospel and its benefits, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. What causes you to be a partaker of the divine nature? The gospel manifesting these great and precious promises, being redeemed, being justified, putting to death the old man, bringing forth the new man, makes you a partaker of the divine nature. And now look at this, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, as you hold fast to the gospel, you'll be being delivered from the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right, let's read 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, International Standard Version. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the full knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and excellence. Through these, he has given us his precious and wonderful promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, seeing that you've escaped the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. See, let me tell you something. And this is what's so great about being a partaker of the divine nature. It becomes your nature to walk, to move in God's spirit and to do righteousness. You know, God made the birds to fly. He made the fish to swim. That is their natural motion. God doesn't have to make them do that. He doesn't say, all right, you fish, get to swim and all you birds fly. He made them that way. They don't have to discipline themselves to do that. Well, let me tell you something. As we're spiritually regenerated, it becomes our nature to walk in God's spirit. It becomes our nature to walk upright. It becomes our delight. Okay? When we're made righteous of God, we have a heart full of love, then we will love the Lord our God with all our heart. We will love his words and keep his words, and we will walk in his spirit. See, and this is why you should sow the word of God in your heart, especially the scriptures on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? That's the power of God that brings the promises. Okay, verse 5. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Okay, now you look at these things. These are, this is also describing that nature, but it's saying practice it also. You're developing that nature, those characteristics, those traits. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity. That's love. For if these things be in you, not just you do it, but in you, and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What's that? You've been called to eternal life. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to go to perfection to go to heaven. You just got to stay with the Lord. But see, here's the comforting thing. The more you overcome sin, the more you walk with the Lord, using your faith, believing, putting the word in your heart, practicing the word, the more you get established in the faith, the more less likely that you'll go back to your wicked ways. And the sins you still have, you'll be overcoming them. Okay. Next, let's talk about the gospel's always with power. And as you overcome your sins by faith, you will get that power working you more and more. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not, I forgot what translation it is, I didn't write that down. The kingdom of God is not based on talk, but on power. Okay? The kingdom of God is power, and it's also a place. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it is also the kingdom of God. It's a place, but it's also the power of God. Matthew 25:34, and I believe this is where it's talking about, it's a place. Then shall the king, this is Jesus, say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. See, now that sounds like a place to me that God's prepared from. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abuse themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, now, as you turn from sins, these sins I just listed and others, not only do you get the promise of God, you also inherit the power. Then you can do the works of Jesus. Now, you can do some of those works. I mean, you can believe God cast the devil. You can cast the devil out of someone when you, baby Christians can cast out devils. They can do some of these works. But you'll have trouble walking in it consistently until you inherit the kingdom. And you know what? And I really believe this based upon the way Jesus walked, that God just doing that to show you what he can do through you. Because do you know Jesus didn't heal any sick, cast out any devils, raise anyone from the dead until he spent 40 days in the wilderness? Then he began to walk in power. Let's look at that. Matthew 4:1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now keep in mind, Jesus is suffering being tempted of the devil. Okay, go down to verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. This is after the temptation. And behold, angels came and ministered on him. Okay, so now Jesus gets out of the wilderness and he's walking in power. Let's look at that, verse 16. And the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region of shadow of death, light sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God, the power of God is at hand. And you can hear him. It says that in other places. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew's brother, cast a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now look at the authority and the power of Jesus walking. He starts calling the 12 apostles and they immediately follow him. Verse 21, going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately left the ship and their father and followed. So these men, they're all at work. They're commercial fishermen, and they just walked out of their job and started to follow this man named Jesus of Nazareth. And nobody at this time knew anything about Jesus. They didn't know who he was. His fame hadn't spread abroad yet. His fame is spread abroad after he starts doing the miracles. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, he just calls all these 12 apostles and they begin to follow him and look at this power he's manifested. And that's why Matthew, right? I believe so. That's why I said Mark is talking another place where he got out of the wilderness and he said, repent ye and believe the gospel. That's because he was doing miracles. And he said, now repent and believe this power. Okay. Verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Okay, there obviously was a big change in Jesus' soul as he walked through the wilderness, because he entered into the wilderness being led by the Spirit of God. By the time he got out of the wilderness, he was moving in the power of God. You know that? And you know it says in Habakkuk 2, I think it's 2:2 or 2:4, somewhere in there, it says, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. And it doesn't say Jesus, but that's who it's talking about, because you can see in the next verse, it says, for the just shall live by his faith. And that's quoted several times in the New Testament. So Jesus' soul was not upright for him. He didn't commit a sin. So he went into the wilderness and got his soul purified. And we can see that from other scriptures. Let's look at that, 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. See, the sufferings of Christ is being tempted of the devil. That's what Jesus went through. And it's called a fiery trial. And a fiery trial, it's like putting gold in the fire. The impurities come to the surface. And that's what happened to Jesus. That's what happened to you and me. All our sin and our impurities will come to the surface and purify it out of us. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Okay, so the devil's after us. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, save. See, like right now, I've got the oppression of the devil on me. And I have this almost every time I do my podcast, record a podcast, especially when I'm preparing for it and then during it. and it's the powers of darkness resisting me. And because when I get in faith and I begin to press into these things, I start to engage spirits. And they can't help themselves. They start coming after me to stop me. But God uses it to perfect me, establish, strengthen, settle me, purify my heart. And so, you know, and I've said this many times, I said, well, go ahead, devil. Go ahead. Come against me. Hit me. You know, I don't, you know, I used to, sometimes I get a little bit, well, anyway, I say, give it your best shot. But I thank God, God only lets me get tempted with, he doesn't allow me to be tempted above what I can able to bear. And because the devil could devour me if God let him. But God won't let him, thank God. So, you know, like I've said this many times, this fight we have with the devil is a fixed fight. God leads you into one temptation of another. And so you don't have to be afraid, although there's some times it can get, you know, what I say is hairy carry. It can get tough. It is a fight. It is a fire. It is a fiery trial. But you'll be fine. And so just remember these words when you go into it. You'll come out fine. You'll come out just fine and you'll be okay. So as we walk through one temptation after another and do your best to stay in faith and resist the devil in faith, you'll be made perfect. And you'll get to where you can move in the power of God. You know that? God has to bring us there. Like I said, God will do some of these things in your early walk. You know, God will do all kinds of things. But to get to where your faith is consistently working, where you can walk in this, you'll have to be transformed some. You have to be purified. You'll have to go through the wilderness. You'll have to overcome the powers of darkness. Powers of darkness shut up your faith. Powers of darkness will shut up the kingdom. It says that the kingdom of heaven, what is that? It's talking about John the Baptist. Can't remember that scripture. The kingdom of heaven will suffer violence and the violent will take it by force. There's a war to keep you from moving in the power. I'll tell you that right now. And it's the powers of darkness. And they don't want you. And I've had some times where I had to pray real fervently. And then I could break through those spirits and I'd start pounding on the devil. I went from being on the defense to moving on the offense. And, you know, so part of this walk is you put on the whole armor of God and you're in a defensive mode just to keep from the devil devouring you, just keep from the devil bringing you down or trying to drive you into more sin. But you stand fast in the faith and you believe and you fight and you go from defense to offense, you know, because it says you put on the whole armor of God and you stand against the wiles of the devil. And then it says the word of God, your mouth is like a sword. And you begin to take the word of God against the devil. But you'll have to break through these spirits. You have to get your faith loose. And then you take the word of God and you pound on him. And you can break his power off you. And you can break his power off other people. And you can cast out devils. I've been with people. I had this one situation where a guy messaged me over Facebook. And he said, man, I am so oppressed. He said, will you pray for me? I haven't been able to sleep very good for days. And I said, sure, I'll pray for you right now. And immediately I had the faith. I knew I had authority over that spirit that was oppressed. I knew what it was. I knew it was a spirit. I knew I had the faith to take authority over it. And I said, I'll pray for you right now. And I began to take authority over that spirit and break its power over this person. And I texted back and I said, look, God's delivering this spirit into my hand right now. And I'll break his power off you. He messaged me right back and he said, this is amazing. All of that oppression left me. Well, of course it left him. That was a devil oppressing him. See, and I've done this numerous times. I pray for other people and break the power of the devil off them. And I've broken it off me. And, you know, it doesn't always work as well as I'd like to, but it does work. And so it'll work for you. So we have to continue in the faith. We have to overcome our soul. We have to get our faith loose. We have to overcome the law. We have to overcome sin. It's not just read about it and then think, okay, I'm going to stand on the promises. You got to walk all this out, but it does work. So, if you'll put the word of God in your heart and you'll practice the word of God, believe this gospel, and that's part of practice the word of God and let the Lord lead you. And you know, to be an overcomer, you have to be led, by God. All right. Because he knows exactly how to lead you through the wilderness to overcome. And the only way you can be led by the Spirit is you got to mind the things of the Spirit. You got to be after this. You got to want this. Okay? But it's a great blessing. You'll suffer some, yeah, you'll suffer some, but it's so wonderful as you begin to overcome and overcome and overcome. It's a great blessing. So I encourage you, put the Word of God in your heart. Read the Word of God out loud. Those are prayers. Reading the Word of God out loud is the way you sow the Word of God in your heart and and pray the Word of God. Okay? You're not going to grow if you won't spend time reading the Word of God. You know? And, you know, you can receive the Lord. You're going to have eternal life. You're going to live in bondage until you make an effort. Until you overcome. If you want to come out of bondage, you're going to have to pray your way out. That's all there is to it. And to go to be with the Lord, we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'm not telling you can just live in sin, receive Jesus, live in sin. On the contrary, you've got to make an effort to let Jesus Christ be Lord. Okay? So don't get me wrong. You don't have to go to a certain place in the Lord to have eternal life, but you do have to make him Lord and make an effort to walk with him. You know, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're going to believe certain things, make sure it's based upon promises of God. All right? Make sure you're standing on strong scriptural ground. All right? I believe that's all I've got for today. Everybody, keep reading that word. Keep putting that word in your heart. You'll be an overcomer. Let me go ahead and give an invitation. If there's anybody out there that has never been saved, you've never been born again, this is your day. So repeat after me. Just say this prayer with me. I'm going to lead you in it. So just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I just call upon your name. Jesus, I call upon you. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. I thank you that you died for me. You died for all my sins. You were buried and you were raised from the dead to justify me. I thank you right now. If you said that prayer, Spirit of Christ is entering your heart. God has now started a good work in you. Believe this gospel. Hold fast to it. Put the words of God in your heart and be obedient to the faith and you'll grow up and overcome. And I encourage you to tune back in to my podcast, and I'll teach you the ways of God. That's all I've got for this podcast. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Jehovah, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water.